This summer's been busier than usual at the state capitol, with ongoing discussions happening on hot-button issues including Medicaid expansion, Common Core education standards, road funding, and more. Here to offer his perspective on those and others is a Democratic East Lansing State Representative Sam Singh of the 69th District. Hi, Sam.
Hi, thank you for having me back.
How do you feel about having a Whole Foods coming to your district?
Well, when I was mayor in East Lansing, that was actually one of the things that constituents would come to me. And technically, I think the Whole Foods will be in Meridian Township, but it's great for the region, great for Michigan State University, and I think people are going to look forward to additional choices where they can shop.
According to the State Journal's treatment of the story, Mr. Tesseris, the developer, has been talking with the company for maybe 3 years or so. And this is something that's been on your agenda for even longer than that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think there has always been an interest by the region, not just East Lansing, but I know out in Meridian Township as well, to have additional options when you take a look at fresh food. And I think this is going to be a great complement to the other places that we already have here in the region.
As the vice chair of the House Committee on Common Core, I have to open with this talk, and this is in the earliest stages, I believe, talk among the governor and the legislative leaders, the so-called quadrant leaders, of a statewide ballot proposal to increase the state sales tax and earmarking that revenue to roads, not just to roads, but to education as well. What do you know?
Well, you know, we've just heard basically this concept. Prior to this, the conversation has been taking a look at the sales tax only for roads. And I think there's been many of us on the Democratic side who've been talking about the $2 billion of cuts that education saw 2 years ago by the governor and the legislature. And we said, for us to move forward as a state, we have to be investing in education. We all know that. And so I'm assuming that's actually, you know, come to the governor's attention and is one of the reasons why this new proposal is out there. I have not seen the details, so I can't really comment on the specifics of it. But I'll keep an open mind until I actually see the language and see what it contains.
Do you think you would be more apt to vote in favor of an increase in the sales tax if it covered both of those items as opposed to just the roads piece?
Well, I definitely have said publicly that I was concerned about just sales tax for the roads. I was more preferable to user fees because I think those who use the roads should pay the most for the repair of the roads. But if there is a balance where we can actually increase funding to education, I'll be open to it. But in the end, you know, to me, a sales tax is a regressive tax. And I would have preferred us taking a look at a variety of other areas within our budget to fund education and the roads. And, you know, again, we'll have these conversations this fall, and this will be one of the proposals that I'll entertain.
But the education option sweetens the deal for you?
Again,
is it too early to say?
I think it's too early to say because until I actually say, what does that mean? Does it talk about K through 12? Does it talk about higher education, community colleges? I'd have to see the full proposal because, again, if you remember, 2 years ago, public universities took a 15% cut. You know, the K through 12 schools took that $2 billion cut. And so if we're getting them back to square one, perhaps that would help me move in the right direction. But until I actually see the details, I can't really say one way or the other.
We'll keep an eye on it. You are the vice chair of the committee that heard testimony on the funding of Common Core education standards, and a hearing on Wednesday included controversial remarks from Hillsdale College President Larry Arnn that I want to ask you about in a minute. But first, update us on where the Common Core discussion is right now from your perspective.
Sure. Just to let the listeners know, 3 years ago, the state of Michigan, through the Department of Education, approved the Common Core standards, and our local school districts for the last 3 years have been implementing them. In this last budget cycle, a small group of Republicans were concerned about those standards for a variety of reasons, and then they put a boilerplate language into the budget that said in October that we can no longer spend any dollars towards Common Core standards and the curriculum that the local school districts will be creating as we move forward. So over the summer, we've been tasked with a committee of 11 of us to take a look at all the issues around Common Core with the hope that we can find a resolution in September so we can get to that October point and allow school districts and the Department of Education to actually spend money on the Common Core.
Is it your understanding that the concern over local control, which is what these conservatives are complaining about, was this an issue 3 years ago?
You know, they held public hearings at the state level on this issue. You know, obviously school districts have been implementing it. So I think many of us were surprised that it became an issue in the last 6 months. What has happened is a small group of Tea Party people nationally have made this an issue. And so the Tea Party has made that an issue here in the state of Michigan. On the House floor, I asked the Republicans who were in office, many of them, where were you 3 years ago when this was being implemented? Where were you the last three budget cycles that have allowed money to be put towards this? Again, this has become a national issue, and so therefore it had to find its roots here in Michigan as well. To me, I think it's a distraction. You know, they're claiming somehow that this was started by the federal government. There is no evidence of that. It actually was formed by the National Governors Association, mostly Republican governors. The business community has been supporting this because they want to have a set of standards across the country. So if you move your student from Michigan to Ohio in the second grade, they're going to be getting the same level of expertise.
Okay.
Because we want to position our students for a global economy.
And as you point out, Michigan schools began implementing these standards in 2010. What happens if this funding doesn't continue? What happens to that movement?
Well, that's what I think is most concerning to our local school districts. They're like, we've been doing this. Now what do you want us to do? Many of them spent a lot of money teaching their teachers on how to implement this. They've developed curriculum in their schools. And so the question is, are we going to be sending them backwards? And they're going to spend now more money on having to move in a different direction. And again, the other side hasn't said what standards should we be using. So then the question is, do we go back to the old standards that everyone, including conservatives, said that weren't good enough? And so it's a big question mark. No one expected this within the budget. It came in at the last minute, and it was a disappointment to many of us, both Republican and Democrat, and we hope that we can finish up our hearings in August and make some final resolution in September.
If a vote were held today, do you think it would pass or fail?
I think so. I think it would pass. Again, I think it was a small group of people who were holding up the budget, maybe not only for just this issue, but for other issues. And now that the full budget has been passed, that this was given on its own, I believe it will pass with bipartisan support, both in the House and the Senate.
Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arn, in his opening remarks on Wednesday, referred to the State Department of Education, and he said, quote, "They said we violated the standards for diversity because we didn't have enough dark ones, I guess is what they meant," unquote. What did you think when you heard Mr. Arn's comment?
Well, I was surprised, and you could hear a gasp, actually, from the committee room. Because no one would expect a college president to refer to their minority students as dark ones. And it became even worse because there was another point in time where Chairman Kelly asked if he wanted to explain his remarks. And in the second response, he also uses the phrase dark ones again to refer to his minority students. And to me, I was disappointed. I know a number of my colleagues, afterwards demanded an apology from him. And I have to tell you that I saw the apology statement, which never contained an apology. And it almost was as offensive as his original remarks.
Well, Hillsdale College did offer an apology. We'll emphasize of sorts, and this is quite interesting. It said, "No offense was intended by the use of that term, except to the offending bureaucrats. Dr. Arn is sorry if such offense was honestly taken." The offending bureaucrats, presumably the Department of Education.
That might have done something 13 years ago that had nothing to do with the Common Core, which was interesting why he even brought that issue up. But the thing that I'm most concerned with that's not being discussed is that he was referring to the minority students on his campus as dark ones. So why has he not apologized to those students? I don't need an apology, but I do think that minority students would be offended that their college president believes that it's appropriate to be calling them dark ones.
I'd be curious. It'd be interesting to know what kind of discussion this has actually triggered on the Hillsdale College campus among the student body. Arn later explained that he made the statement because he didn't approve of the government interfering with how his private college is run, and it's true, Hillsdale College does not accept any state or federal funding. It's an anomaly, really. And Arn says he wasn't trying to insult the federal and state government officials who tried to document the races of Hillsdale students which the college does not do. So I don't know what all that adds up to. It's a confusing situation.
It was, and of course, none of that had anything to do with the Common Core, which was what that testimony was meant for. So it was a shame that he diverted the attention of an issue that's important to the state of Michigan using language and rhetoric that's not appropriate in this day and age.
We're talking with East Lansing State Representative Sam Singh here on Current State. We don't often talk about Detroit with you, but congressional Democrats, this is U.S. Congressional Democrats from Michigan, Sandra Levin and others, are discussing ways to generate federal money for Detroit as it contends with its bankruptcy. Should the U.S. government be playing a stepped-up role? Have you thought about that?
I have. When you take a look at the difficulties the city of New York, though they never went to a formal bankruptcy they had in the 1970s, you take a look at other areas that have had similar types of problems, there's always usually been a federal, state, and then local solution to these. So I think it's very appropriate that the federal government take a look at this issue. But I think more importantly, I've not seen as much leadership as I would have hoped out of Governor Snyder on this issue. The governor has a role in municipal bankruptcies, and they can also tailor what they want to be looked at within these municipal bankruptcies. You know, one thing he didn't do early on is, as they went into bankruptcy, to say, I want to protect pensions. It actually took the Republican Attorney General to have to force that issue forward. He could have very easily put that within the bankruptcy filing. The big issue around the DIA, he again could have stated very clearly as part of that bankruptcy that we will not touch the assets of the DIA. Again, he has not done that. And then most recently, the poor community, county of Genesee yesterday was going towards receiving revenue bonds. And we're not able to receive any revenue bonds because investors have said the way that Detroit has been handled would potentially impact them. Kevin Orr very specifically said that he would not protect certain bonds through this process, which has been a traditional way of dealing with bankruptcies, because these revenue bonds actually have dollars coming into them, and those are one of the reasons why local municipalities across the state use them, because they are very sound investments. And what has now happened is an issue in Detroit, and statements by Kevin Orr have now scared off investors who were potentially going to invest in Genesee County bonds. And now Genesee County, which is a very well-run county, has an A-plus rating, can't get the resources that they need. Again, the governor very clearly said, as they went into bankruptcy, this was not going to impact other communities. Well, it has, Governor. What are we going to do about it? And that's something I'm looking for this governor to take a strong stand on and tell his bankruptcy emergency financial manager to make statements that would help protect communities across the state of Michigan.
The day after, the morning after the Detroit bankruptcy was announced here on this program, there was a discussion of the domino effect. What's happened in Genesee County is part of that domino effect, in your view?
It is, and that's why one of the concerns that many of us had is that bankruptcy was the last possible solution for this problem, because it has the potential of impacting other communities and the bond ratings of the state. And there were things that the governor could have done, or he could have directed Kevin Orr to do, that he did not do, that is now negatively impacting the state. I believe he still has the opportunity to right the ship, and I expect that type of leadership out of him.
We've got less than 30 seconds, Sam, but I really want to ask you about the effort to reverse Michigan's ban on same-sex marriage that dates back some weeks now. You're part of that effort. Any movement there? What's the discussion like?
Well, we were all pleased to see the Supreme Court decision on same-sex marriage. At the same time that week, we introduced a series of bills and resolutions that would take back to the voters in 2004's ban on that, and bring it back to the people for a vote, and we're hoping to hear about that in the fall.
Very good. Sam Singh is the Democratic East Lansing State Representative from the 69th District. Sam, good to see you.
Thank you very much.